Go to Ephesians 3, I believe. I told Derek, usually if I have any idea what the Lord's going to do, then when I go up to get the microphone, I tell Derek, I think the title will be something like this. So tonight I said, I don't have a clue. He's withheld it from me, hasn't told me, I don't have any idea. We'll see, okay? You notice there's no notes. Because I didn't know what to bring notes on, you know? Now, I've been teaching on the manna at the 8:30 services, and I said, Lord, if that's what you want to teach on, it's okay with me. We could put this one on there, but I just didn't feel like that's what he wanted to do. We may touch on it, but I know where to start. Glory to God. That's all I need to know. Amen. Besides, if you come to, I got news for you anyway. I can't help you. I really can't. I have no power to change your life.
That's right.
We've gotten some emails. One of my favorite emails was from a real good friend of mine in another land. If I told you what land, you might figure out who it is. But he's in another country, and boy, he's real eager. You know, as soon as we post those lessons, he listens. And y'all remember the morning when I said, over the years I've had different people ask me, and I know they've asked Dave, and I'm sure at this point they've probably asked Alan and others, you know, that's been around for a while. And they, you know, and it's a question that really is full of respect and everything, but they say, could you please be my mentor? You know? On that lesson Sunday, I believe it was Sunday or the one before, I said, well, we appreciate that. That's respectful and nice, but really, you've missed the point. Because what we're trying to do is, as your teacher, as pastor, we're trying to teach you so that you will get in the classroom with your mentor. The mentor is the Holy Ghost. Remember that those lessons about where it says chasten. You know, here as a son, he will chasten you. But the Greek word used there in Hebrews is to tutor. The primary word of it is to tutor. And there's a big difference between a teacher and a private tutor. Teachers, like tonight, there's a multitude here. But a tutor, you know, you hire a tutor for your child. The whole point is 100%. One-on-one, personal instruction. Because the Holy Ghost is God, He is that to each of you. He is your mentor. Glory to God. That's good stuff. Isn't that good stuff? So anyway, this friend of mine, he emails back and he says, all right, that part, that was just for me. No, actually, it's for more than just you, you know. Hallelujah. Praise God for the Holy Ghost. And I'm glad I go to this church. I'll tell you right now. Thank God. Thank God. The verse that I heard in my spirit a while ago is I was close. Remember, I've told you before, I have the Bible in me in images. I don't really have it because that's the way Dave taught me to study it. You know, I don't have it chapter and verse. I can't from memory tell you necessarily what a chapter and verse means, but I know what image follows what image. Okay? And so I saw this, and I knew it was somewhere close here in Ephesians, but it's Ephesians 4. Oh, I'm sorry. It is Ephesians 3. Back up to verse 20. I just saw chapter 4 there. It's almost to the end of chapter 3. Ephesians 3, verse 20. Look at this. Yes, sir. Okay. What he's doing tonight is going to help you understand your impasses better. And if you're not having impasses, you're not doing it right. And if you are having impasses where you feel like quitting and giving up and running off and please just let me go back to the first church and be a nice Christian, I just want to go to heaven now. That's the definition of an impasse, by the way. If you are having those, then you're doing it right. Okay? I see hands going up. That's what he's going to do. I mean, that's what he's doing. I just found that out just now, okay? He's going to help you understand your own impasses, and it'll help you not fall out, fall away, okay? Because it's possible that you could. So he's going to encourage you tonight. Now listen to, watch this. Ephesians 3:20. Now unto him, we've got to know this about God. We know it, but we need to talk about it. Unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think.
according to the power that worketh in us. Unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Unto him that is able to do. Now see, and theoretically we all know this. This is not rocket science. You know this verse. You've heard this verse many times. You've read it in your own Bible. I mean, of course, you go, well, of course, Gary, God makes universes and stuff. I mean, he makes planets. God calls into being that which does not exist. I like that one. You know, that's, of course we know that. But see, what he's trying to do is get you to understand. Did you notice that last part? According to the power that works in Daisy? Well, sort of. But it was what he said, according to the power that works in you. Let me say it to you this way. One of the reasons why you have impasses, what he's called you to do is impossible. And that's why you get frustrated. And that's why I keep saying get back in prayer. His plan for your life is bigger than you can do. In every way. I'm 58 now, headed towards 59. The longer I'm on the planet, you start figuring a few things out. I see now why most of the, quote, church world in America, and I don't mean this bad, I mean thank God for every church where anybody gets saved and any alcoholic gets delivered and any good thing happens, okay? But I see what's going on now with so much of the church world. What's happened is the church, for the most part now, has got itself organized to the point that it doesn't need God anymore. You know, we've got a nice retirement plan for when I get old. We've got insurance for when I get sick. And Now, again, I'm not against any of these things. But, right on the other hand, you know, we've got a certain amount of savings. We understand that if we do this and do this, there's books out that'll help, you know, automatic millionaire and things like that. If you automatically deduct and invest XY dollars, and by the time you get to be a certain age, you'll have this much. And all that's true, and that's all fine. And, you know, they have their services organized, and good things do happen. I mean, again, Jesus says you can't even give a cup of cold water in my name and lose your reward. It's not like they're not doing something. They are doing something. But today, I was thinking about, yeah, but what do you do when Tabitha is dead? And they say, would you come and pray and raise our daughter from the dead? How's your little program going to help now? What about your insurance policy? You know? That's just one example. It could be, depends on your calling. Your calling might be in the financial arena. My friend LaRue, who pastors Houston Revival Center down in Houston, Texas, he says this to me all the time. He says, I remember the first time he ever said it to me. He says, Gary, I'm telling you, God has never yet called me to do anything I could afford. And I knew exactly what he's talking about. Now, if you could afford it, your vision is way too small. Look at that verse again. You understand what I mean? If you can afford it in your strength, look at this. Unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask, that would be one level. Because if you can ask it, you can think it. I need a new car. I need a new red car. I need a new red car convertible. Woo! I can think all that, see? But our God is able to do above what even what you can think. What he wants to do through you, you can't yet think it. Yet he's going to do it through you. Because look at the last part of the verse. How does he do, Brother Gary, exceeding abundantly more than I can think? Well, I'll tell you one thing. He does it through you. Because it says, according to the power that worketh in us. I used this example Sunday night at Calling in the Lost. I see it again in my spirit. Jesus was teaching on how the kingdom operates. And boy, he was a good one. If you followed Jesus around, you saw these kind of miracles all the time. He'd open blind eyes, for crying out loud. He'd open deaf ears. He would cast out spirits. This guy with a withered arm comes to church and been coming all these years, and Jesus says, stretch forth your hand, and the hand comes out. It's just normal like the other one. Lady comes over with a widow's hump, looking at her feet. Been going to church, 18 years? Long time anyway. And before she leaves church, she's standing upright, straight, and strong. Wouldn't you say that? I would like to know how this kingdom operates. You're operating in something that we have never seen before. And you keep talking about this kingdom of God. Would you please tell us how it operates? And Jesus says, sure. The kingdom of God is as if a man should cast seed into the ground, and he should sleep and rise night and day, and the seed should spring up and grow. First the blade, then the ear, then the full corn in the ear. But you don't put in the sickle until the harvest is fully come. And you go, thank you, Jesus. We're ready to go now and attack the blind eyes. What does that mean? Well, I was teaching Sunday night at Calling in the Lost about God's plan is bigger than you are. And suddenly I saw this little cartoon vision. All right? Now, allow me for a moment because this will help you. He's saying the kingdom of God is all a person would plant. Let's take a piece of corn in the ground. Now, being in Oklahoma, you've seen corn. Corn is normally roughly about a quarter inch in size. It's kind of a little bit kind of square. It's yellowish, maybe yellow-white. But see, there's an image on the inside of that corn seed, isn't there? Now, the thing about a corn seed, or any seed, when you plant that thing in the ground, here's the part we don't like. The seed itself, the husk, has to what? Boy, don't we hate that part? Don't we hate that part? But what has to happen is the ground has to destroy the visible in order to bring forth the invisible. And when that little blade starts, there's an image in the inside of every seed that's way bigger than the seed. All right, now, y'all know, let's go to the end of this thing. Let's say now in Oklahoma, if you remember the song, when the corn is as high as an elephant's eye. Let's say 7 foot tall. Now, you planted a yellow, white, small, square-looking kind of seed. And now you're looking at a 7 foot tall plant that's green, for crying out loud. Hanging off of it is several big old ears. And if you shucked them, on the inside of these ears are hundreds of little seeds just like the ones that you planted. Now here's the cartoon part. Somehow, if we could raise the original little corn seed from the dead, now it's a grandpa seed, and it's coming up to see what it produced. I can see it. It's got a little cane. Here comes the little corn. We want to show you what came out of you. Okay, let me see what it was. And somehow you bring this little corn seed up, and he begins to, now thinking, he's a quarter inch tall. And he starts looking at this plant. And he looks up. That thing has to look like the Empire, has to look bigger than the Empire State Building. And he's going to look, and besides that, he looks at him and he's yellow white. And that thing is green. And it's huge. It's monstrous. It's big. And plus, it's got these big old ears hanging off of it. He'd look at you and say, there is no way. You telling me that came out of... Yeah, what is it? You're saying that came out of me? Impossible. I can't even think something like that. No. But God, when He made the seed, He planted an image on the inside of the seed that was millions times bigger than the seed itself. When you got born again, your calling got born with you. There is an image on the inside of you. Paul describes that image. He says, Christ in you, your hope, the image, what you see, your hope of glory. There is, you have a place in the body of Christ. There is an image on the inside of you that is God's plan that is as sure as that corn stalk was in the image of the corn seed. It's there. And God's trying to bring something invisible into the earth. Trouble is, He has a little problem with the husk. That's why when you go pray and you fast and you assimilate and you do all the things that are with this message, don't you see yet what's happening? The Holy... You know, when you put any kind of seed in the ground immediately tries to dissolve the husk. It goes, it's attacking it. It's attacking that husk because it's trying to get to the seed. It's trying to get to the image that's on the inside of it. Do y'all ever know why an iron fence post will rust when you put it in the ground? The ground is trying to grow that thing. It doesn't know that that's not a seed you planted. It's going, there must be a seed. There's an image in here somewhere. And it's attacking that iron post. It'll do the same thing with a wood post. It'll start trying to get to the image. What do you think's happening to you when you get in here and epoxy your britches in a chair? You begin praying in the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost is attacking your husk. He's trying to get past the natural part of you that can't even think this thing. Can't even think it. Yet it is God's image. And if you let the Holy Ghost have His way with you on that day in glory when rewards are handed out, you'll be like that little corn seed. Except you won't have a cane and you won't be old. You'll be 33. You'll be looking good. And all of a sudden, Jesus will draw back a big curtain. And maybe you'll see, maybe just picking something. Let's just say that there's 1 million Japanese people that are waiting to applaud you as you come out. They're part of your reward. 1 million Japanese people. And you go, question, Jesus, I'm from Pottawatomie County, Oklahoma. I ain't never even been in Japan. I only know a couple of Japanese people. How in the... I don't ever remember praying for no Japanese... I don't remember doing anything. What do you mean there's 1 million Japanese people on my account? Ah, because you're the one. No, I didn't send you to Japan, but your calling, the image I had on the inside of you, was how to make the money to send Dave to Japan. Because that was my calling. And when you sent him, those 1 million people got one for the gospel. And there is much on your account as they are on his account. You'd be just like that little colonel. You'd be looking at 1 million souls. You're telling me that that came out of me? All I did was sit at my computer and do some day trading. Or I did this or I did that because it's what God called me to do. And then I did what he told me to do with it. I never went to Japan, but this is on my account. Your calling is way bigger than you. That's why it seems hard. People, I got to tell you something. It's more than hard. It's impossible. That's the whole point. Look at the verse again. Hallelujah. How am I doing? Y'all liking this? Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Go to my seat. Okay. We have time. All right. Now unto him that is able to. He's able. You know, notice it doesn't say he will. Now unto him that will. Doesn't say that. Unto him that's able. You know why it's worded that way? He's able to do it in each and every one of us. But it's all, as always, up to our free will choice. You can continue and stay through those impasses when it feels... You know why it feels like you're dying? You are. Get a grip. Get a clue. You know, I've used this example before. We For 18 years, we had this wonderful cat. Those of you that came to the original Bible study, you remember AC? He was a really good cat. AC originally stood for attack cat. He was real playful, man. He never would hurt you, but boy, he'd hide around behind a wall, you know, and you'd come walking through the door and he'd attack your ankles. He'd play with you, you know, he was just frisky. We loved that cat. But he was always a real good, gentle cat. He'd let little kids come and pull on his ears and pull on his whiskers. And he's a big cat, too. He weighed 18 pounds when he was full grown. It's a big cat. He could hurt you if he wanted to. Just as gentle as he could be, you know. And we had him for 18 years. But you know, I did notice, though, even AC, as gentle as he was. Now, if he got scared, if something really scared him or he was in fear for his life, if he was like backed into a corner, he'd fight you. He'd come out of, I mean, you'd have to be careful. He'd be a ball of fur, eyes, and teeth right after you. You know? Because he's fighting for his life now. See, and that's what happens when you get in prayer and you stay in there. And the Holy Ghost, he's trying to dissolve everything about you that's not Christ. And it is, you know what, it feels like you're dying because you are. And that's why your emotions feel like they're backed into a corner and you go, no. You know, like myself, I personally do not like yard work. I appreciate good yards as long as somebody else does the work. Mowing the lawn is my idea normally. I have nothing to do. If that's all there is to do, I have nothing to do. But it's amazing. Me, myself, when I first started trying to pray, not once I was out of the trucks, I wouldn't be in there 15 minutes. And my emotions and my flesh realize something's happening. We're dying. Something's after me here. We need to go mow the lawn. Suddenly that sounded like a good idea. And I knew that had to be a devil. What I'm saying is I knew it wasn't normal for me to think like that. I said, man, there's something to this. But fortunately, I had a good teacher. And Dave had warned us about these impasses. See? But if we don't endure it, people, I'll tell you this much. The little seed, the little going back to the corn seed, unless that rascal dies, there is no way ever. Everyone say ever.
Ever.
Not ever.
Not ever.
See, now watch this. Longevity. You could hold that seed. You could carry it in your pocket for 20 years. And it won't even begin the process of releasing God's image. It's only when you allow it to die, only as the seed dies, does the image come forth. That's why I keep saying in various ways, different ways, why the Lord has me keep saying it. Many, and I don't know why I keep gravitating over there this week. I'm not looking at anybody. I'm not even thinking of anybody. Trust me, we have too many counseling sessions. I'm not talking about you, okay? There's too many of you. But very often the question is, I've been going to the prayer center 5 years. I've been going here 6 years. I've been going here 9 years or whatever. How come God hasn't brought me into my calling yet? Well, you can carry that corn seed, but unless it stays in, somebody sometime or another has got to put it in the ground. And you can't take it, you can't put it in one day and take it out the next, keep it out for a week, put it in for an hour, take it out for a month, put it in for 3 or 4 days, take it out for another month. That's not ever. You're just going to wind up with a really messed up seed. You keep doing that, you're going to have a really messed up seed. A crazy seed. Can I say that? This thing's going to be half, it's going to be an ugly looking thing. That's, in some ways, it's worse than when it got here. The only thing that brings forth the harvest, put the seed in the ground and leave it there. That means develop some kind of regimen of prayer and fasting and reading the Bible, meditation, assimilation, something continuous. Yes, sir. Okay, Mark 4. Mark 4, you've got to see it with the authority of the word itself. Something that keeps it in the ground. It's got to be consistently kept there until there's enough change, enough death to the outer man to start letting the fruit come forward from the inner man. It's according to the power that works in us, not that stays dormant in us. Dave used to say this, and it made so much sense. It's one of the things that kept me in prayer in the early days. He says, can you imagine, cause, and especially me, because I had already had a close encounter of the cancer kind. I'd already been diagnosed once in about 1990, given 6 months to live with terminal melanoma cancer. You know? And Dave, fortunately, had just enough of the faith message to thank God to survive that. That was 1990. This is the year 2005. They gave me 6 months. That's the longest 6 months I ever heard of. Thank God, still going strong. Amen? All right, Mark 4. Look at verse 26. Here it is. So is the kingdom of God, as if a man should cast seed into the ground, and should sleep and rise night and day, and the seed spring and grow up. He knoweth not how. Oh, get that part. He knoweth not how. For the earth brings forth fruit of herself. First the blade, then the ear, then after that the full corn in the ear. But when the fruit is brought forth, immediately he putteth in the sickle, because the harvest is come. The part I want you to see here is, well, all of this, but look in verse 26. It's as a man should cast seed into the ground. And notice, now the man sleeps and rises night and day, but the seed stays in the ground. You have to do what, and what is really teaching here is allowing the natural man, the outer man, the part of us that can't do it, let it be mortified, so that the new man, the part that can, the seed on the inside of us, the part that's made in that image of Christ, the part that has God's specific plan for your life in it, so that that part can begin to come forward. And I'll never forget the day. This was shortly after Sue and I had been up to New York. And I think Aaron was with us that year, and we had prayed for Lynn Perez's boy, Tommy. He had cerebral palsy, I think it is. Might be muscular dystrophy. Whichever one. It's a real serious case. And I mean, we prayed. You can't tell me. I know that Sue prayed with all the faith she had. Aaron prayed. I prayed. Christy Smith and Linda were with us. And of course, Lynn and her husband were there. And we were praying. Man, the whole reason we went over there, we thought the boy would get out of the wheelchair. We wouldn't have gone and prayed if we didn't think that. But he didn't. On the way back to the motel, I'm feeling like a sheep-eating dog. I feel like I'm not even called. I'm not, God, I don't know why you have me do anything. I mean, I've kind of hit an impasse, can you tell? I feel like a failure going somewhere to happen. God brought this verse right here to me. And he says, son, what's the process? First the blade, then the ear. He says, son, I don't care how bad you want it. You cannot harvest a blade off, excuse me, cannot harvest an ear off of a blade. He says, you are progressing nicely. Continue in prayer. Continue in this message. Continue to let the process happen. Son, you're a nice little blade. There's nothing wrong with you. I look at you with anticipation. I look at you like there's a good harvest going to come someday. But son, it doesn't matter how bad you want it. Wanting the ear is not what produces the ear. It doesn't matter how bad you want the miracle. You cannot harvest an ear from a blade. He says the only option is to continue letting the Holy Spirit work on the husk. John the Baptist, he didn't exactly, you know, he wasn't exactly talking about this, but the principle's true. I must decrease. He must increase. Now I know why the Holy Spirit, right before we left the house, I kept hearing this, but I didn't know how to put it in the message. So I didn't look it up. You just know it's in there. You remember when they did call Peter to pray for Tabitha? She had died. Wasn't her name Tabitha? Am I saying the right name? Tabitha. And Dorcas, and then Tabitha. So she was a good lady. She made blankets and things for poor people. And And but she died. I don't think it tells us what of, but she's dead and she's too young to die. So they called Peter to come pray for her. And the part that I kept remembering was how he gave all the glory to Jesus. I remember at the gate beautiful, Jesus, he said, "Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee." And then later they's asking him, he said, "I'm telling you, it was the name of Jesus and faith in that name that gave this man this perfect soundness." What's Peter doing there? He's going, "What do you think? You think a husk can heal?" He says, You think I'm doing anything? You think I'm raising this lady from the dead? You think I have power to cause this man who was born with a birth defect, born lame, out of his mother's womb? You think I have power to do anything? It's not me, but it's Christ in me. And He's doing exceeding abundantly above all that I could ask or even think. Now at this point, Peter has been hand-trained by the Lord for 3 years, 3.5 years. Him and all the 12 were trained by Jesus. Can you imagine? Can you imagine how his thinking would be different from yours? But yet Paul says, that power that's on the inside of us, to God who is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or even think. Daisy, she's making notes like crazy and I'm bugging her. I got a feeling for you, and everyone knows Daisy. I really think what God's called you to do, I doubt you even thought of it yet. She says, probably not. Bernard, sitting right by Michelle. Every time I pray for them, I know part of their calling. And every time I pray for them, the vision, it always comes back. And no matter how many months or how long it's been, when I pray for them, I always see the same vision. They're on a path picking up diamonds for Jesus. Always, every time. It's part of their calling. But I got a feeling some of those diamonds, you probably haven't even thought in those realms yet. Probably haven't even thought it. But I see what's going on with the, quote, the church at large. And even the ones, I'm not even talking about the ones where we, let's talk about the good ones. the good ones, where you can get saved. Okay? Still yet, most of the time, what you see is things that can be done by man. And I'm not against those things. But it's things like, okay, how are we going to build a wing onto the sanctuary? We need to start a funds drive. We need to have the kids sell cookies. We need to have the women bake pies. We need to have a rummage sale. That's what the kingdom of God needs, more rummage. I'm not against those kind of things, and that's what sustained the church, But boy, that's not going to bring revival. Are you kidding? You talk about revival? If we had a few dead raisins around here, or emptied out the children's wing of the hospital, how about, is it Morningside? Aaron, ex-police officer, Parkside, the mental ward at the hospital. What if they all came out of there in their right mind and giving Jesus all the glory? You might start talking about a revival even in our city now. That's the kind of things that God really wants to do. And it's hard. We can talk about it in here and we can see the truth of it. But when you start praying, it don't make it no easier. When you start fasting, it doesn't matter. Lewis, I'll tell you, every time I can always feel like fasting right after a good meal at Outback. At that moment, I want to make a fasting schedule. I'm into it. Let's do this. I suddenly feel like fasting. And that lasts until supper. And I'm not mocking it. In fact, I'm going to say again with my mouth, I say out loud, fasting is easy for me. Okay? But I'm saying it by faith, like I've done a lot of other things in my life. I believe it will become easy, but it'll not, you know, I'm now in the process of possessing that land. Okay? But now the point is this. There, again, can you see the analogy of what Jesus was saying? Yet, the little kernel of corn, what has to happen to it? It has to die. Unless the seed be cast into the ground and die, it does not bear any fruit. You are the seed. Did you, whether you know it yet or not, God sent you to this church to kill you. Boy, now that'll bring them by the throat. Dave's going to be so happy I have this service tonight when he hears this. Headlines in the Charisma, I can see it now. Go to Dave Roberson's church to die. But that's right, amen, Bubba. That's my grandson, hallelujah. Anyway. But it's really the truth. And I thank God finally for finding a church where at least somebody had enough guts to basic. I'm not talking to you, this is the way Dave talks to me. He says, Gary, the reason God isn't using you, he can't. You're too messed up. You're too you. You know? You've got a great, there's an image on the inside. God's able to do exceeding abundantly beyond all you could ask or think. But he can't get, every time he looses the Holy Ghost on you and it starts at the husk, I'm trying to imagine how, now I'm not trying to say the Holy Ghost actually, I'm trying to give you an image. Like the ground would, you know, after that seed and trying to dissolve the husk. Man, doesn't it feel like that when you're in prayer? Something's after me now. Oh my God, let me get out of here. And he says, and every time God has been after you, you know, the whole life trying to dissolve that husk and bring forward the image of Christ. I left it up there. I can't even see the reference. Are you kidding? Acts 9. We'll look at it. Acts 9:36. We'll just look at it here in a minute. But every time that the Holy Ghost comes after you to try and you know, you must decrease so Christ can increase, you run like a scalded dog. I'm going to send you to Dave. Dave, Sue and I talk about this all the time. Isn't Dave the case? I mean, that humor and that you feel the love, you know. But we'll be sitting there. It took us a few years to catch on to what was happening to us. You know, Dave comes out and we're laughing, and you can hear Sue on the tape. So, she needed to laugh in those early days. We were going through it so bad, and you can hear when Sue gets really tickled, she snarks. Which he really, and y'all know it's true. She's internationally famous. She's internationally famous on the tapes, and Dave absolutely loves it, you know. And we'd go home, and she had a great time, and I did too. And we're talking about it, and then the truth of the message would start hitting us. And you know, really, he wasn't very nice to us during that message. He basically sliced us and diced us, but he made us like it. And we want to come back for more. I can't wait to get sliced up next week. He has this gift for lovingly beating you back into prayer, doesn't he? You know, and worship and fasting and all those things. But it's such a gift, you know, the way God described it through Tim Stemple. He said that humor are the enzymes that help us digest the meat of God's Word. That's a pretty good way of putting it. Because Dave just has this way of just slicing and dicing you and making you love it. But you've got to have it. Otherwise, you're going to quit. Because people, if you haven't noticed, it's hard. Have you noticed this dying stuff, to dying to yourself? You know, it's hard. And like Dave says, if it's easy, everybody'd be doing it. You know, that makes the longer I'm at this, I'm going, no wonder there hasn't been very many revivals. No wonder there hasn't been very many. All right, let me get my glasses on. Got to go back up here. Sue, where is that? Let's turn to Acts 9:36. I just want you to see this. Now there was at Joppa. See, now this is God doing through Peter, exceeding abundantly beyond anything Peter himself has any power to do. That's why this is such a perfect example. You could put your... There was at Tulsa a certain disciple named Mark. named Daisy, named Bernard, named you. Put your name in there. No, there wasn't. I'm sorry, not that one. We've come to. There was at Joppa a certain disciple named Tabitha. No, she dies. not her. Okay, I was putting your name in the wrong place. A certain disciple named Tabitha, which by interpretation is called Dorcas. This woman was full of good works and alms deeds. Well, I told you I didn't have time to prepare. He didn't tell me what he's going to do. Good works and alms deeds which she did. And it came to pass in those days that she was sick and died, whom when they had washed and laid her in an upper chamber. And forasmuch as Lydda was nigh to Joppa, and the disciples had heard that Peter, now here we go, this is where I'm saying, instead of Peter, you could put your name in there. See? They had heard that Peter, you could say Daisy, Bernard, Mary, Cole, they sent unto him two men, desiring him that he would not delay to come to them. Then Peter arose and went with them, and when he was come, they brought him into the upper chamber. And all the widows stood by weeping, and showing the coats and garments which Dorcas made, while she was with them. But Peter put them all forth, and he kneeled down and prayed, and turning him to the body, said, Tabitha, arise. Isn't that a theological, hermeneutical, doctoral masterpiece of a prayer? Oh, thou Jesus, thou great intercessor between God and man. You know, no, he just, I like a two-word prayer. Tabitha, arise. And she opened her eyes, and when she saw Peter, she sat up, and he gave her his hand and lifted her up. And when he had called the saints and widows, he presented her alive. And it was known throughout all Joppa, and many believed in the Lord. And it came to pass that he tarried many days in Joppa with one Simon the tanner. Now, later on, the very next thing that's going to happen is you know about Cornelius and his house. Now, the point of this is, would you call that raising people from the dead is just a little bit beyond normal human ability. See? It's just a little bit beyond that normal human stuff. And when God called Peter, Peter never had it in his mind. Peter's a fisherman, for crying out loud. When Jesus first called him, I don't think the thought had ever entered Peter's mind. Gee, someday I will raise the dead. Gee, someday God's going to use me in that capacity. He had never thought that. He never had a thought like that in his life. But after being hand-trained by Jesus for 3 years, after being born again, then anointed by the Holy Ghost, now to him, he just walks in the room. He knows he knows who he is. He knows the authority he's walking in. Mainly, he knows who it is in him. Just a two-word prayer. Tabitha, arise. And she did. Glory to God. Y'all get anything out of this? Now, how do you get from where the church is to where that becomes normal? Well, the seed has to die. And the blade, the image has to come forward. First the blade, then the ear, then the full corn in the ear. I've told you this before, how Sue and I, the day we walked through the doors in 1992, we were two of the most defeated people you'd ever seen in your lives. And even though that we had been saved from 1980, and then we walked through the doors here in 1992, we'd been Christians and Spirit-filled Christians for 12 years, and we had done a lot of things. We'd been in prison ministry. We'd seen a lot of good things. We'd seen God even do some things. There was a Bible study where Sue's own mother got delivered from alcoholism and is still free today, all these many years later. We'd seen power like that. We'd seen God do lots of miracles and lots of things over the years, but then we ourselves got into a situation where we wound up taking an offense. We got hurt really bad. We didn't know how to handle it. And so we got took out for about 5 years. So we were in real bad shape the day that we come in here. Our seed had been out of the ground for about 5 years. Can I put it that way? We had we never said these words, but as we look back on it, we'd kind of, okay, devil, white flag, truce. We just want to go to heaven now. Okay? We're going to quit pressing like we were. We're just kind of become normal Christians now. And we kind of thought that if we did that, he'd leave us alone. Oh, bet me. We found out during that next 5 years. And what I mean by that, we didn't go back to the world. We never went back to the bars or anything, but we just, our zeal died. And we were just existing. Get up, have breakfast, smooch your wife, go to work, or your husband, go to work, come home in the evening, eat supper, mow the lawn, rent a Blockbuster movie, but they didn't have Blockbuster then, rent something. You watch TV, go to bed, somebody might say, but that's my life now. Your problem is you're dead and don't know it. That's not life. That is not life. You know, that was our life. And it's during that 5 years is when the devil tried to kill us both and take all three of our kids to hell. That's during that period where all three of them were in rebellion at the same time. That's when I got diagnosed with terminal cancer. Sue got diagnosed with a 8-pound blood mass that could have killed her at any time. And at the same time, my stitches are still oozing, and I'm trying to find one of my daughters who's hanging out with these drug people over at some really bad apartments over on Peoria. My stitches are still oozing while I'm trying to find her. Don't tell me it wasn't bad. It was bad. We come through here and the doors, and we began, the Holy Ghost, you know, I've told you before how he got our attention, because the night before we'd just been saying, something's got to change. I mean, the devil's going to kill us. This truce deal, we didn't say these words, but this is not working the way we've been going. If it keeps on like this, we're going to get killed. We got to go somewhere. And finally, Sue, we've tried all the different churches, and there's lots of good churches in town, but it just, that connection was never there, you know. There's a lot of good churches in town. But we kept saying, something's got to change, and that was the operative word. Something's got to change. And Sue says, well, Dave Roberson's got a church just right down the road here. Why don't we try him tomorrow? So we did, and I'm shortening this story. We come over and sit right over in that section. We purposely tried to hide in amongst a bunch of people. The Holy Ghost had Dave call us right out. It wasn't 10 minutes into the service. Dave says, I'm going to pick on you two. Dave says, you two. And we went, they said, no, you two. I saw the hand of God come down on you. Would you step out in the aisle? What are we going to, you know, I wanted to say, we're new, leave us alone, you know. We just came to hide and test the waters. Got out in the aisle, walked up, and you know how Dave is, just kind of half there. You know, kind of, he's over with Jesus somewhere, you know. Change, the first word out of his mouth. Change. And the blessings of God. And you need them both. And by that point, I knew the Holy Ghost had our number. I knew that he heard our conversation the night before. So at that point, I said something real spiritual like, yeah, we do. We do bad, yeah. And he prayed for me, and I went flying back. And I don't even know what he prayed for Sue, but we were goners. Thank God. That was God sent Sue and I here to die. To get our seed planted back in the ground. To let the Holy Ghost begin working on every part of us that is not like Jesus. And not only did he first heal us up emotionally and doctrinally and physically, but within Dave, in those days he would say often, if you don't want the next 5 years to be like the last 5 years, let the Holy Ghost have his way with you. And wouldn't you know it, almost to the month, 5 years later, we left on our first ministry trip. But now I'm just telling you the truth. We kept the seed in the ground that 5 years. If we would just have attended and not done the message, we wouldn't have been any different 5 years later than we were 5 years before. Can I say it a different way? Don't get mad at me. We wouldn't have been qualified. And we're talking about us dying. Anything that God does through us is not us. Have you figured that out? Tim says it like this. He said, any part in me that you like, that's Christ in me. Anything about me you don't like, please have patience. God's still working on that part. Okay. Same with us. Boy, since that time we have seen some astounding things. Now I'll tell you this. I'm going to talk about me, not Sue. Hey, I have some wisdom. She's steady. She stays real steady. I had stayed real steady for a long time, up until about 2003. And that's when we started going. Now then the Lord started launching us overseas. 2003 was one of the busiest years of my life. Not only did we travel all over the United States, we went to New York, we went to Dayton, Ohio, we went to Houston, we went to Florida, we went all over. Then also that year we went to Poland, we went to South Africa, went to South Korea. It was a busy year. And Gary fell out of prayer. Boo, Sue says, boo. I did, though, for the most part. I mean, there's still a little Shandai in the morning, you know. Shandai while you shave, you know. Shandai while you're getting ready. But those long hours in prayer, they're just, hey, you think you're going to be able to do that on the road? It's tough. It's real tough. Plus, when you get over there, everybody wants all your time, all the time. In Africa, they work you like a dog. I would teach. During the week, every weekend, I was in different churches, Friday night, Saturday night, twice on Sunday. During the week, I had Fridays off, but during the week, the rest of the time, I taught from 9 in the morning till 9 at night. Teach an hour, take a 10-minute break, teach an hour, take a 10-minute break, 9 in the morning till 9 at night. Busy. There's not a whole, when you got done, the last thing in the world you just want to fall into bed now. You do not want to pray. Plus, my emotions were driving me crazy because my family wasn't with me and I was there 31 days. I'm saying all that to say this. After about a year of not a whole lot of consistent prayer, you know what I found out? My flesh has the power to resurrect itself. Corn seeds don't seem to have that. I don't think a natural corn seed can do that. Alan, have you found this to be true? The flesh, if you don't keep it in the ground, it comes back. It gets thick again. It goes, just try and take me into that prayer closet. Come on. Take your best shot. I'll have you mowing that lawn in 10 minutes. Try it, buddy. It came roaring back. And I'm telling you, I think it was harder. It's been harder to stay in consistent prayer the second time around than it was the first time around. And part of that is complacency, because you do arrive at a certain level and God is using you to a certain degree and there's some satisfaction that comes with that. But boy, all of a sudden now you spend a little time in prayer and here He comes again. And He starts, you begin seeing things that He wants, and it's exceeding abundantly above anything you have ever even thought of. And you're going, oh God, I can't do that. And He goes, I know, thank God you're finally back in prayer. But that is what I want to do through you. Will you keep the seed in the ground again? Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. And it may be tough again. It may be tougher than it was the first time around. But what are the options? I only really have two. Stay where I am. Everyone say, boo, boo. Or I can go on and let the Holy Ghost finish the rest of the job. So that God can do exceed. I want to see Him do some abundant, exceeding abundant things that I haven't even thought of yet. Amen? Aren't you the same? Praise God forever. Hallelujah. Now see, I hope that if nothing else, you'll remember that little cartoon of the little corn kernel, the little grandpa corn seed. Because someday you are going to stand before the Lord. You won't look like a little grandpa corn seed. But I hope you remember that little cartoon, because the idea was when he saw what God produced out of the image that was programmed in him. He could not believe it. Listen, if we will endure the prayer closet, if we'll endure the dying process, on that day when you stand in glory and he shows you what came out of you, can I say it that way? What was produced through you, you'll be going, no way. No, it's impossible. Surely that can't be. And he'll say, yes, it is. Because you let the God who's in you do exceeding abundantly more than you ever even asked or thought. Glory to God. How many is ready to go pray a little more? Really now? Now here's a great revelation for you. If you didn't get the rest of that, please get this. Prayer doesn't happen by chance. I already know the devil that's going to be sitting on your right. He will be laying in the bed with you in the morning. His name, I even know his name. You know, Jesus would ask him, what's your name? I know this one's name. Y'all do too. I've told you about him before. That devil's name is Samo. It is, it's Samo. Because right tonight you're thinking, boy, he's right. I know God has a plan on the inside of me that's bigger than me. I know that he's wanting to do this, but in order for that to happen, I have to die. It's making sense to you, isn't it? Didn't the Lord lay it out nicely? But in the morning, same old, same old. You got stuff you got to do. You've got a job you got to get ready for. You got to get up and wash your hair. You got to brush your... Man, in the morning, tonight you feel like a powerhouse of God, and in the morning your breath would kill an ox. And you're thinking, my God, I'm just me, you know? I don't know what Gary was talking about. I'm just me. We know you're just you. We're talking about the God in you. And the image which... Tonight we're talking about the plan that he has inside of you. It's so much bigger than you. Father, I rebuke the devil of Samo. I come against that liar. That Lord, they'll be excited about this message when they get up in the morning. But I am telling you, I'm not a novice now. I've been at this a long time. And I'm telling you, if you don't do something on purpose to change your prayer life, that old devil, a same old, will sit on your shoulders and nothing will change. Let me say, I'm going to really scare you now. Well, I know there's always a few exceptions. If you don't do something on purpose, you'll pray next week the same amount you prayed last week. Many of you ought to just fall out faint right there. Say, oh God, say it isn't so. Please say it isn't so, God. But it is so. Prayer is going to have a priority in your life, which really means God's plan is going to have a priority in your life. Amen? Y'all ready for me to quit? See, I don't have that same humor like Dave does. You know, you can tell I'm slicing and dicing, but you know it. Dave does it, you don't even know it till about 2 days later. He really has a gift from God. Well, Father, I just thank you for your word tonight. It does help us understand these impasses, Lord. It helps us understand. It feels like we're dying because we are. Lord, help us remember that. Help us remember that. Yes, sir, I'll remind him of that. Now, let me tell you this. One of the things, Dave, he doesn't say it so much these days as he did in the early days. This was the phrase that throughout those, I mean, because I'm telling you, until 2003, so we're talking from 1992 till 2003, that seed was in the ground. A lot of change happened, okay? All right. Now, there have been some prayers since, but not like that. Now, here's the phrase that he used to say. Well, here's what. But you think I didn't hit impasses? Are you kidding? But these words would always come back. This is what would rescue me. I'd hear Dave saying, when nothing in you wants to pray, and you don't even want to hear about prayer. Nothing in you wants to talk about prayer. When everything in you feels like that, don't stop now. That's where you've been trying to get to. And if you will press in, if you'll keep praying and make it through that, when you emerge on the other side of that, the devil will never be able to stop you at that level of emotional warfare again. Boy, I'd remember that. Because I had my times. I mean, I've had it. You know, I've been praying for years and prayed for that baby and it didn't get well. That's it. I'm not doing this no more. I don't want to pray. I don't want to hear about prayer. I don't want to go. Don't want to hear another Dave Roberson tape ever. Not ever. Then I'd get quiet and I'd hear, "Don't stop now, boy. This is where you've been trying to get to. Don't stop now. Continue in prayer. You're going to make it past this. And you'll never be stopped at that level of warfare again." And it was true. Amen. So Father, again, I just thank you that your word has gone forth. I do believe it's gone into good soil. Father, these are the Wednesday night people. I know that's why you're doing it on a Wednesday night. These are the faithful people. But still yet, Lord, these are the ones that these have to stay in the ground. We have to stay in the ground. We have to let you continue to have your way. Father, this is the group. Wednesday night people is who it comes through. You know what I mean by that, Lord. Father, so I just thank you, Lord, that you remind us, that you encourage us, that you keep us constantly keeping our seed in the ground so that the plan you have for us can not just be a blade. Lord, please don't let us stop at blade stage. Lord, not even at just the ear stage. Father, we want to go to the full corn in the ear. The full manifestation of Christ in us. Our hope of glory. That the world can come and eat of that fruit. Father, I give you praise for these things in Jesus' name. Amen.